NBA Australia, how are you going? How are you going? I hope you're all right. You should be. Why is that, Jim? I can't hear you ask. Because it's Wednesday, hump day, April 17, but the play-ins have started. How good were those games? Well, one of them was good, and the other one saw Draymond lose, so it was all right. I'm your host, James Clements. You can also see me on the AFL Supercoach podcast, the AFL Today Show, Fox Sports Lab NBA, all that good stuff. Here in the studio, hanging out, walking around, causing some havoc. I've got a mug over there, got a basketball here. Producer Gerald's in the chair. It's feeling pretty good. But today, we're just talking the two West playing games. The Lakers are through. The Lakers are pretty okay. And the Kings sent the Warriors packing to go through to the 8 seed game. That's fun. Blake Griffin retired. We'd be all like, hang on a second, I thought he was already retired. You would have been right. But otherwise, there's also a couple of injuries for tomorrow's games. We'll talk about that as well. But we'll wrap up those two games in the NBA Australia game wraps. We've got That's a Knife, Old Mate, No Mate, Spud of the Night, Better than Lonzo Ball, all that good gear. We've got Yeah Nahs, the unpopular opinion of the day, and our back take house, where we're serving up our flame grill take. It's a pretty good one. There's a Shane Hill shoot, 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 shot, light 'em up award as well. And we'll pick and preview those two awesome games for tomorrow. Cannot bloody wait. I love the play-ins. This is great. There's so much just excitement. But the thing is, Gerald, you see, it's the possibilities. The possibilities. You're the 7-8. So we can make it finally into the playoffs properly. We'll be a real boy after that. And the 9-10, it's like, piss off home if you lose this one. Sucked in, dickheads. It's pretty good. It's very fun. So we'll pick and preview those for you at the end. All right, without further ado, let's get into it. Episode 1076 of NBA Australia. Let's go!
This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Ah, you better. Who was copying today from Shaq? It was pretty fun. He was like going hammering songs after, Zion and a bit of the old, the rest of the Lakers and gear like that. And then, don't foul a jump shooter. Having a crack at some of the Kings, but also just dunking on a bit of the Warriors. Kind of love to see that. Let's do some game wraps after we fang up some news really quickly. Kawhi. He's going to be that 12th member of Team USA that we talked about yesterday. In a surprise twist, there were some mysterious goings on with Kawhi. Grant Hill basically met with everybody in his 12-man roster, right? So as we sort of broke it down on yesterday's show, basically, the Team USA that was announced, you know, a bunch of All-NBA teams and all that sort of stuff. It's a lot of time and effort going into basically a team that's going to get their ass kicked by the Boomers. But you had LeBron, Steph, KD, Embiid. Cameroon's like, yo, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? What the hell, Joel? And he's like, what am I going to win with Cameroon? Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Jrue Holiday, bam, Adebayo and Tyrese Haliburton, and the mysterious 12th thing. Turns out Grant Hill just couldn't track down Kawhi Leonard. He's like, hey, Clippers, do you know where Kawhi is? And they're like, no, we don't. We never know where he is. He's Kawhi. He's like an outdoor cat. You just see him when he's hungry. He's like, feed me. And they're like, oh, fuck this guy. Is it the playoffs yet? Anyway, kind of fun, kind of weird. And it basically came to the point where he finally got in touch with Kawhi, hung out with him, went, so are you good to play? And Kawhi's like, yes. Like, all right. Mr. Personality over there. The other little bits and bobs of news is we've got Blake Griffin retiring, which is a bit of a shame, but he's been cooked for 5 years. Yeah, that sounds about right. It is crazy, though, to think it's been 14 years of Blake Griffin in the NBA, where it kind of feels like in the back of my dumb brain, like he jumped over that Kia like 4 years ago. It's literally 14 fucking years ago. I'm like, that was sick. Remember when he jumped over the Kia with Baron Davis popping out of the sunroof going, hello? That was awesome. It was also like 2009. Like, whoa, fuck that. Way to feel old really quickly. Just, I don't know, as soon as he did his knee like that second time and ended up in Detroit carrying that fucking one leg around, he did have a very sick, very nice, statement about it with a pretty cool logo, the BG logo. I forgot to mention the Wemby logo. It's the first logo using AI. Bullshit. Fucking AI in my ass is like, make me a logo that's Victor Wembanyama. That's literally what I need an AI logo to be. I feel like there might have been a little bit more input. Because, Gerald, you know what is actually also AI is when you're using Photoshop and like coming up with a fucking logo. Like you're, you know, the shit that you're doing, that's also kind of using artificial intelligence within a program. Just fucking saying. Whatever. The BG one's pretty good. Anyway, I never envisioned myself as the guy who would have a letter to basketball retirement announcement. And I'm still not going to be that guy. Waka, waka, waka. Good on you, Blake Griffin. But as I reflected on my career, the one feeling kept coming back to me and the one thing I want to respect was thankfulness. Yeah, it's a really nice statement. Go read it. I loved watching Blake Griffin. He and his little weird fucking T-Rex arms. Could yam on a motherfucker though, couldn't he? You know, I got to see him a bunch in person, which was kind of cool. One of my first sort of trips specifically for hoops when I was like, cool, on the end of a South by Southwest trip for work, I'm going to stick around and saw him and Eric Gordon, I think, in the Clippers take on the Hawks in like a fucking Sunday Clippers matinee. And it's one of those reasons where you go, oh yeah, the Clippers get just completely screwed by the Staples Center scheduling. And it's like, there's Dominic Wilkins though, sitting right there in front of me. Pretty cool. But Blake Griffin, he was a weapon, loved him a lot. Just weird that he's now gone and retired. Anyway, what else happens? Well, Adonis DiVincenzo, he has been like thrown out there. He's ineligible for most improved player, which is weird because he played 81 games. Pretty tough. It's bizarre. He doesn't get in. He's ineligible due to a caveat where it's like, since last year, you got to appear in a minimum of 65 games. For a game to count towards that total, they got to play 20 minutes. He had 62. How did Dante get absolutely screwed by this by just coming off the bench and playing like 19 minutes, like in all these fucking games? And he's like, what the hell, man? What do you mean I didn't play like enough games? I was in fucking like 80 fucking one of them. This is bullshit. This is a little bit of a problem for something like that. I'm just saying. Yeah, it was basically heaps of them between 15 and 20 as well. So he played 66 games in which he logged 19 and a half minutes or more. So he got completely fucking dogged. You can't dog the boys like that, Adam Silver. I would dog whoever I want to, Jim. Okay, Adam, back in your box. Okay, Jimmy, okay. And then finally, a little bit of injury news. As I sort of alluded to right at the top, Terry Rozier is not going to be playing for the Miami Heat tomorrow when they take on the Philadelphia 1-2-3-4-5-6ers. Which is a bit strange and a bit worrisome, but he was like, all right, cool. He hasn't played since like, what, a week and a half ago because of a neck injury. And you're like, that's pretty bad. But Duncan Robinson's at least going to be playing. The other little bit of news, but this isn't for tomorrow's games, is that Giannis, they're still not entirely sure, the old buckaroos, whether or not he's going to play, and they're preparing as though they won't have him, which, in my opinion, means they're fucking cooked. Right, so let's do some game wraps. Game wraps. That's right. We're doing Lakers-Pelicans first up because that was the first game. That's very easy. The Lakers, they won it 110-106. This was a really, 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 really fun game that featured a lot of really, 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 really bad basketball at times. LeBron couldn't hit a shot in the fourth quarter. It was weird. It was ugly. Zion was unfucking stoppable. And talk about literally watching like a passing of the torch in real time. It happened in both games. It happened with Zion and LeBron in the first game and then with Keegan Murray and Klay Thompson in the second. But when Zion Williamson laid out LeBron James and made that man go horizontal to the ground, that was one of those holy shit moments where you're like, ah, oh, I don't think I've ever seen that before. Like LeBron's built like a fucking Mack truck. And Zion's like, that's a cool Mack truck. I'm a fucking world crusher. Bang! Just whomps him out of the road. He's like, I'm a Mack truck that eat Mack trucks. Like it was absolutely sick. He fucking laid out LeBron and you're like, that's never happened. Holy shit. Anyway, it was an interesting game. It was a fascinating game for the fact that D'Lo saved their ass early on the Lakers. The way that they were defending Zion was fascinating as well. They're like, go on, shoot it, dickhead. And he's like, no, I'm going to keep running in through everybody and scoring all the points. He ends up with 40 and then fucks his leg right at the end and probably costs him the game because he has to go out with like 3 minutes to go. They couldn't stop him when he had like even a hint of fucking like steam behind him because I don't know, if he's like knocking over LeBron James, what the fuck else can he do? Like, it's LeBron. He's basically the same size, but Zion's maybe even bigger, and here we are. So good luck defending him. Like, it's just going, the unstoppable object hitting the very movable objects all of a sudden. But it was like, what, a 12-0 run by the Lakers at the start of the second quarter got them up and about because the Pelicans were leading this one, basically because they were just like way more keyed in than the Lakers early on. The Lakers cranked up the defense at the start of the second, 12-0 run. There was a 15-0 run at the end as well. That's a hell of a way to bookend a fucking quarter, right? D'Lo was everywhere. He had three threes, 15 points really early on. Gabe Vincent hit a couple of threes as well. And you're like, holy shit, Gabe Vincent's alive. That's cool. But LeBron was forcing his way to the free throw line, playing defense. That combo, and this is what I talked about in yesterday's show, right? Like, the size of the Lakers means that they're not afraid really of the size of the Pelicans. And that sort of ended up being true, apart from the fact that Zion was trucking everybody. But between Torian the Red Bull Prince, LeBron and AD, like, and even Rui Hachimura, like, they were rolling. So they had a 13-0 run as well in the third quarter. And you're like, they're just sort of fucking cruising here. And then they weren't. I think the Pelicans ripped off, like, it was a 5 of 20 shooting effort in the third quarter. The Lakers just completely assert their dominance. And it was like, what, 60-50 at the half. And you're like, hang on a second. It was a 32-10 run, I think, in that, maybe it was at the second quarter, right? And you're like, yep, I think they're going to be all right. And then the Pelicans, in the back half of that third quarter, Zion just went, get out of the road. Get out of the road. Get out of the road. They got it from 18 points up down to like 7 points at the end of the quarter. Zion goes coast to coast, and you're like, holy shit, they're in this. And then the Lakers just shit down their leg for most of the fourth quarter with LeBron missing everything. Them always just taking a shit three, while the Pelicans are like, well, just go and score twos. That seems smart. If we score, that's good. It's much better than missing a three. Zion like blocked LeBron at one point as well. Alvarado smoked a three. It was like a three-point game. And you're like, holy shit. Pelicans just rolling on this momentum. So like 5.5 minutes to go, three-point game. Then it just goes back and forth the rest of the way. Like, Austin Reeves was fucking huge in these last 5 minutes. He hit, I think there was a shot that he basically hit. He got fouled. He got no call. He hit another massive shot later on. Alvarado had this sick pass to Zion. Still a two-point game. But it was the Lakers settling for threes and getting crushed that just made you fucking just go, what is their plan here? Is it just to hope? And it definitely felt like it for a lot of it. The thing is, then Zion goes out with 3 minutes to go, and you're like, ah, that's probably a bit of a problem for the Pelicans, because Spindles Ingram and CJ McCollum played like dog shit and couldn't do a goddamn thing right. They couldn't hit a shot all game. And you're like, well, this is their moment, right? Step up or piss off. Guess what they did? They pissed off. So D'Lo hit a massive three with 50 seconds left in the corner. It was like, that's just a really bad defensive mistake. He hit a huge shot, and they sort of just went the clamps from there and became the foul shooting game, and LeBron and AD hit all their free throws. But it just got to like such a weird, crazy point where it's tied up with like 2 minutes to go. And you're like, holy, the Pelicans are going to steal this. Anthony Davis had that very, very nice oop dunk from Austin Reeves. He sort of just tossed it up near the thing. They go back up by two. And the Pelicans just couldn't get over the hump. And this is the thing that we've long like kept an eye on in NBA Australia here, right? It's like, you come from 18 points down at any point of the game. It's really fucking hard if you don't get over the hump and then push on to get close and then actually win the game, because you've just expended that much energy, right? And Zion, him leaving, obviously really fucking killed him. That was a very, very good win for the Lakers, almost despite themselves. So, fun one. Zion ends it with 40 points. CJ goes 4 of 14. Spindles goes 4 of 12. Herb, he had 10 points. He had a couple of threes. He was awesome. Alvarado and Larry Nance Jr. had 10 each as well. He had 12 points for Trey Murphy. He looked like he might be the dude. Like, once Zion goes out, he had this beautiful little floater in the lane. We're like, oh, shit, that was very nice. Maybe it's up to a bit of Trey Murphy. Wasn't heard from again. It was just a really, really tough sort of end to that game. And we were like, aha, so this doesn't work. Like, if Ingram and Zion, if Zion has 40 fucking points in a game and CJ and Ingram just can't do anything, like, CJ still works with Zion, but this fucking front court of Jonas, Zion, Spindles, Spindles just doesn't take enough threes. It's very simple. They just clog each other's fucking games up. Ingram gets in the road. He's the expendable one. You got to move him, I don't know, from Miles Bridges, Mikal Bridges, one of the bridges. Just build a fucking bridge and get over it. I don't know. But either way, 12 turnovers overall, but I think there's only three turnovers in that second half for the Pelicans, which really made it much closer. But 9 of 30 from downtown. It's not going to cut it against the Lakers team that's actually hitting some threes. They went 14 of 35 from downtown. They only shot 42%, the Lakers, but still did enough. Geez, Jim, how was the point, the free throw differential for this one? Because that's been a big topic this season, hasn't it? Well, yeah. And I'll tell you what. Still is. They went to the line 14 more times, did they, Gerald? Do you think Adam Silver's going, yes, give them more calls. I need the Lakers up against Denver in the first round. 100% that happened. They went to the line 29 times. The Pelicans are like, what the fuck, man? Went 15. That is brutal. LeBron James, 23-9-9, but shot like dog shit. 6 of 20. 6 of 20. I'm no math magician, but if you shoot worse than 30%, that's bad. Just float that out there. Like, bloody hell. 6 of 20. You're taking the piss. 1 of 5 from deep. AD was really good despite being hurt. He had a massive rebound late that kept them off the O board. He got the offensive board, got fouled, hit the free throws. That was a huge, huge moment for this game. Ends up with 20 points, 15 rebounds, just clearly hurting as well. D'Lo, massive. I love shit-talking D'Angelo Russell. Fuck, he was good in this game. 5-11 from 3, 21 points, 6 assists. A big steal at the end as well that basically they turned it over. They got the turnover back. Reset, score, away they go. 13 points, 2-2 from downtown for Rui Hachimura. And 15-5-6 for Austin Reeves. Huge late, as mentioned. Pelicans out-rebounded them 50-41, but they did just enough. They got to the line way more. It was Anthony Davis. It was LeBron sort of forcing the refs to go on, call a fucking ticky-tack foul on him. Go on. And the refs are like, okay, Mr. James. They shot 20 free throws between them. Geez, Jim, is that more than the entirety of the Pelicans team? Yes. Anyway, Lakers are through to the 7th seed to take on Denver, a repeat of last year's Western Conference Finals. Adam Silver just go, yes. But if you listen to Lakers fans, that was the closest sweep ever. So it's basically like they won it, but they lost. Anyway, and the Pelicans, they now host the winner of Sacramento Golden State, which was the Kings, because they won it 118-94. This was a smashing. Didn't expect this at all. Why was it a smashing, Jim? Keegan fucking Murray. That's his full name. God, he was good, Gerald. It was sick. You love to see it. Because without Malik Monk, without Kevin, the Ginger Ninja, they needed, and like we talked about this yesterday, right? It's like Keegan Murray, Harrison Barnes, just those dudes needed to step up. Guess what? They did. I didn't expect it. I thought the defense of the Warriors, especially on the perimeter, when you've got dudes like Draymond setting up GP, CP, just somebody else ending with P, I don't know, Podemski. I love AirPods. He's awesome. But their perimeter defense just got fucking cooked because Keegan Murray's like, guess what? I'm going to shoot flames out my ass. Flame on! Bang! Went full Johnny Storm. He was unreal. And the flip side was the Warriors couldn't hit a shot to save their ass at all, especially Klay Thompson. Is this the end of the Warriors? It's the end of the Warriors as we know it. It's the end of the Warriors as we know it. And I feel fine. I fucking do, actually. I'm a bit sick of this fucking whinging, moaning bullshit team. The way the Kings did this, they smoked a million threes and the Warriors hit fuck all. Klay shot like shit. He sucked. He was bloody horrible. And away they went. Keegan Murray, every time he turned around, he was hitting another big shot. There was like a couple of moments where the second quarter. So look, to lay this out, like the Kings came out on fire. It was back and forth early on, but they already had a 9-point lead after the first quarter just because Keegan Murray had already hit four threes. He's like, I'm fucking going here, mate. Check this out. Off he went. And then in the second quarter, they sort of eked it out, but it had this moment where you're like, oh, here they come, Kuminga. Old Johnny Cumbucket went on a 10-point run by himself. The Warriors outscored them by 5 in the second quarter. And suddenly it's like a 4-point game. And you're like, this is exactly what the Warriors will do. I think I tweeted out the most dangerous lead in the NBA is a 16-point lead for the Kings. And it was true because they came all the way fucking back like that. But then the way that the Kings just steadied in the third quarter was really, really impressive. They just went, all right, we need a couple of buckets here. Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis goes, okay, I'll score for you. Here's no problem. Gets a couple more rebounds, off he goes. And then I think as like Draymond hit a big shot, he hit a three in the middle of that quarter, right? It got it back to seven. And then Fox just hit this really nice jumper, got it back up nine. Harrison Barnes hit a couple of buckets and they just kept consistently scoring. Keon Ellis was fucking huge. He hit a massive three as well, put them back up 12. And they sort of never looked back because De'Aaron Fox hit a three after that. It was like a 15-point game. Keegan Murray hit a couple more shots. Off they went. And like it was always kind of like this weird threatening thing. I think the Souvlaki King had a big bucket again in the fourth quarter that put them up 17. He's like flexing. He's doing this one, but like, you know, much more Lithuanian. And this is why you got to watch the YouTube one because it's much more funny. Anyway, but it was just the composure of the Kings is probably the biggest thing that stood out. Suva's dunk to put them up the 17 in the fourth was just big because they were just like, oh, fuck, we are going to win this game. The crowd was like, oh, fuck, we are going to win this game. Oh, shit, we're beating the Warriors. This is great. And they just rolled from there because the Warriors couldn't do a goddamn thing because Clay was ice fucking cold. He was cold in the tasty, tasty Friday froth that's been in the Esky for fucking a good 48 hours. You know what I'm saying? Like, Steph had 22, but he only shot 16 times, 8 of 16. This feels like an empty the clip game. Just like, fuck, bang, bang, bang. It's a fucking, like, it's a knockout game, Steph. Get your head out your ass. What are you doing only taking 16 shots? He only shot 7 threes. Like, it's just weird. 22 points, 2 assists, 6 turnovers. And there's the key. They kept giving up the fucking ball, the Warriors. This has long been, like, one of their Achilles heels, right? The Warriors, they just go, hey, is that you, the other team? And the other team's like, yeah. They're like, here you go, here's the ball. 16 turnovers. 16, that's double 8, which incidentally is what the Kings had. If you have double the amount of turnovers for the other team, just saying, you're in trouble. Outside of that, 12, 3, and 6 for Draymond. He was kind of up and about early. There was a couple of fought for rebounds as well in the second or third quarter where it's like, yeah, back-to-back Draymond rebounds. It's like, hang on a second. Are those his like first rebounds of the game? What is fucking happening here? And the thing for me is like Podemski had fuck all of an impact. He had 5 points. You had fuck all from Chris Paul. You had Trayce Jackson-Davis do fuck all as well. He only played the 11 minutes. He was a minus 10. They were like, right, we're going to go small. We'll play Draymond at center again. We're going to go death lineup. And it didn't work. Why is that, Jim? Because Klay Thompson couldn't hit a shot. Literally. The bloke went 0 of 10. He's out there going, fuck, I was on my boat with my dog. I don't want to play basketball anymore. I've already got 4 titles. Shut up. And you're like, Clay, I don't know. Maybe play some basketball to get 0 of 10. 0 points. Hashtag spoiler alert. He's going to win spud of the night. Kuminga had that 10-point run in like the second or third quarter that was really, really impressive. He kept them afloat, and it didn't last long enough. He shot 6 of 15 for his 16 points, 0 of 2 from downtown. Moody had 16 points. Wiggins had 12 points. Chris Paul, yeesh. Just, he tries to glom on for a title, and this is how it ends as a fucking 10 seed. You hate to see it happen. 1 of 3 in 18 minutes, 1 assist, 2 steals, a minus 15 for Chris Paul in 18 minutes. For the Kings, 18 of 39 from downtown. I don't know about you, but shooting 46% while the other team goes 10 of 32, that's not great, is good. Keegan Murray, 32 points. He's going to pop up again later. God, he was good. Just fucking set the world on fire. 8 of 13 from downtown. Unbelievable. Fox had 24. He shot 11 of 25, but again, because he's got stones the size of fucking Uluru, went 11 of 25, but hit the biggest shots of the game, it felt like. Whenever they were flagging, he's like, all right, just, boys, just settle down. Bang, mid-range jumper, big three, whatever, didn't matter. Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis, 16, 12, and 7. He was awesome. Harrison Barnes, the Black Falcon, 6, 17, 4, and 3 as well. But Keon, goddamn Ellis, full name. Keon, goddamn Ellis. He was awesome. 15 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals and 3 blocks. Just look, the 3 blocks, absolute pantsings of the night, each of them. Again, spoiler alert. But goddamn, he would just come from nowhere and go, nope. Give me your ball. Give me your ball. It's my ball. He's like the 18-month-old squid number 2, Gerald. He's like, no, mine. Like the five-year-old will be playing something and the little one just goes, no, not anymore, mine. And it's like, he's a baby. You can't, like, the five-year-old's like, oh, I want to bash him. And I'm like, don't bash your little brother. He's 18 months old. He's like, but I want to bash him. And then the 18-month goes, I'm going to get the five-year-old. Ah! And just like smack. I'm running a tight ship over there, apparently. Not great. Anyway, Trey Lyles, handy 7 points as well. He had a moment where it's like, I think he hit a three. And you're like, shit, it's Trey Lyles. They only played Lyles and Davion Mitchell off the bench. Davion Mitchell hit a three as well. He had 5 points, shot 2 of 9, but he was a plus three in his 17 minutes. He was really, really handy. 5 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and all their starters were in double figures. Like, it was just huge. They outplayed the Warriors so much on every level. The defense was scrambly. The offense, though, when Keegan Murray's firing, Harrison Barnes is actually engaged playing as his old team. They looked unreal. Suva didn't get torn up by Draymond. They win the game. Amazing gear. The Warriors are done. On your bike, son. And the Sacramento Kings stay alive for one more. They did. Like, I'm 100% tipping the Pelicans because fucking hell, the Kings are just like, yes, we're the champions of the 9-10 play-in game. Boys, act like you've been there before. They're like, I fucking love it, though, because you know what happens when the Kings win? Fires a laser! Love that. But at the same time, it's like, is this the best win of the Kings fucking franchise history? It's like, they won the play-in game. It's the night. They have to win another one just to make the playoffs. They're not even in the playoffs. What are we doing? Oh, but they beat the Warriors. Yeah, I'll pay that. All right, let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a night. That's a night.
While I sip from my amazing NBA Australia coffee mug, which you can purchase from nbaaustralia.com/shop. But either way, that's not enough. Zion, the 40-point game was incredible. 11 rebounds, 5 assists, just trucking dudes left, right, and center. 17 of 27 he shot. Absolutely unreal. But they lost. And it's very classic Zion to be like, look how amazing I am. Oh, I'm injured. Ah, oh, God. Like, it is the most Zion shit in the world. To be like, check out how great I am. Oh, my leg. It's just every fucking time. God, it sucks. Keegan Murray wins this because, fuck, he was amazing. 32 points, flame shooting out his ass, 8 of 13 from downtown, 32 and 9. What a legend. Probably D'Lo gets it as well for the Lakers game because he was everywhere, and especially early when they couldn't do a goddamn thing. Like, LeBron was really good in the second quarter. Obviously, ends up with the 23, 9 and 9, but shot, as I said, like shit, 6 of 20. Could not buy a bucket late. A lot of free throws. And D'Lo hit that massive corner three, which is like, that's not a knife. That's a fucking knife. You're cooked, mate. So good win by him. How about spud of the night? I've already done this, but we're going to dive right in. Off a
spud,
boat.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Splash Brother or Smash Brother? I don't know. That sounds like a weird, dirty sex joke. Yeah, we're the Smash Brothers. Ah, gross. yeah, we work with the Splash Brothers. Ah, double gross. Anyway, Klay Thompson, 32 minutes, 0 of 10 from the floor, 0 of 6 from 3. 0 free throws. And this is like the thing that sort of gets you goat a little bit. It's like, look, your team's struggling. Force your way to the fucking line. And he's like, nah, thinking about my boat, my dog. 0 points, a minus 12, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 turnover, 2 fouls. Spud worthy shit. And I mentioned CJ McCollum and Spindles Ingram. CJ McCollum, 4 of 14, I think. He might have even taken a shot at the buzzer. I don't know if that counted. Was it 4 of 15? Holy shit, it was 4 of 15. CJ, what are you doing? 1 of 9 from downtown. That is absolutely Jay Brutal. Ends up with 9 points, 6 assists, 2 turnovers, a minus 17. Not good. And Spindles Ingram, though, this is probably the biggest disappointment. He's coming back from an injury, so at least you kind of get that a little bit. But 4 of 12, 1 of 1 from downtown, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. Spindles, though, you're a superstar, apparently. I know that you're coming back from a knee injury, but you lose Zion. It's like, all right, boys. Cracks the knuckles. Here we go. Check this out. And he did nothing. CJ, same sort of vibe. Just a really disappointing end of the to that sort of game, obviously. You're just like, Jesus, Pelicans, where are your stones? And like, we don't know. And Spencer Dinwiddie. I love a good waiver wire. Who's going to make a difference? And it turns out every time, fucking no one. Like Spencer Dinwiddie. The Spencer Dinwiddie sweepstakes. Who will he choose? The Lakers. He played 5 minutes and went 0-3. They had like a big fucking feature on him at halftime as well. It's like, how did you pick your number? And he's like, it's my son's birthday. It's like, all right, cool. He's going on about some fucking numerology shit as well, but whatever. Who was old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, that would be the bloke who's played 19 seasons in the NBA, surefire Hall of Famer, but has won 0 titles. Chris Paul. Turns out only Vince Carter and Jamal Crawford have played more seasons without winning a ring. Like, he finally tried to just sort of do the glom on, and it backfired, and they end up the 10 seed, and they're a bit shit. I'm going to talk about this Warriors thing a little bit more in depth in a second, but geez. And Steph Curry, he's going to be sitting there going, what the fuck? Like, he's the John Travolta meme. Just like, I've got Chris Paul? What the fuck are you doing, Clay? Clay's like, think about my boat. And you're like, Jesus, dude. Like, Kuminga's the only dude who rocked up. Wiggins, who fucking turned into Scottie Pippen during the, 2022 finals. And Steph's just like, what happened? Now, you know my theory about this. He goes in the shooting competition against Sabrina Ionescu during All-Star break. Never the same again. It's the MLB All-Star fucking home run derby corollary. It fucks your swing up. I think it might have fucked his shot up. It happens to at least one or two dudes every year after the three-point comp as well. Right? They sort of go in the three-point comp. They do that and it just throws off their rhythm or just something. But Jim, it's only like a couple of rounds and they're just shooting threes. Yeah, I don't make the rules. I just speak the fucking truth. Look it up. Anyway, but still, Steph's just got to be sitting there going, this is, after all these fucking years, I'm 36. This is what I got to deal with. Fucking cranky ass old Chris Paul. Klay Thompson thinking about his boat. Draymond trying to kill fucking Eastern Europeans. Like, what are we doing here? This is fucked, Steve Kerr. Who I'm going to talk about in a second. Pantsing of the night. What Keon Ellis did to fucking everybody on the Warriors, there was just a couple of ones, as I said, where he's just like, yoink, that's my ball now. And you're like, Jesus. His, he's like, his arm length is just a little bit silly. So, yeah. But obviously, pantsing the night, I mentioned this, when LeBron goes horizontal and you've never seen that happen before, that's a pantsing. It's just a pantsing, Gerald. It's just like, Zion trucked LeBron James. Like, that's a sentence that we just saw happen. That was really fucking fun and definitely a pantsing. Who was better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Keon Ellis, Keegan Murray. How about the dude that Lonzo Ball replaced as a number two pick in an NBA draft at the LA Lakers? That sounds like a pretty good better than Lonzo Ball. Because that's what happened. D'Angelo Russell, the guy that they pissed off because they're like, whoa, we've got Lonzo. Now he's back on the Lakers. He's actually their third best player. And he was really fucking good today. 5-11 from downtown, 21 points, 6 assists, 1 turnover, 1 massive steal. And yeah, how does that compare to Lonzo's career playoff? Oh, that's right. He's never played in the playoffs. Oh, geez. It's a bit of a tough one. Keon Ellis, though, he's amazing. What a story. I fucking love that kid. That kid is a weapon. He might be better for that team as well, just saying, than Malik Monk and your man Kevin Huerta, the Ginger Ninja. All right, let's do some yeah-nahs right after Jim finds the button and this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey, guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Let's do some yeah-nahs brought to you by the NBA Australia shop. Get your merch. Get your merch. You can drink out of a coffee mug just like this one. It's very cool. Go to nbaaustralia.com/shop or click through on the socials where the pretty pictures are and go stock up. Go on. going to clear out that room pretty quick. Smart. How are your renos going, Jim? Yep, fuck. Still can't afford them. So buy some more merch. Seriously. God damn. Otherwise, let's get stuck straight in. I think I better check to see if any, yeah, no, they got sent in actually while I'm doing this. But the easy one is that it for the Warriors as a contender? Yeah, nah. Yeah, because they weren't a contender this year. They never were. Like, Steph got old, Clay got older, Draymond was too busy fucking trying to fight everybody, and they completely cooked a bunch of those picks, right? Like, Kuminga's good, but Moody's still a bit shit. The Wiseman pick was a giant fuck-up, and they're sort of sitting there going, oh, what do we do? Oh, we got Chris Paul. And you're like, Chris Paul's my fucking age. Like, what are we doing? And I haven't been the greatest point guard in the world for at least 5 years. Ginger edition, Brunswick fucking half court near the playground edition. There we go. That league rules. What are you talking about? Even then, I'd probably still get my ass kicked. I can't fucking get my fucking shoulder above my, well, my arm above my shoulder. But you look at that roster and you go, Trace Jackson Davis, awesome. The lack, like the Wiseman pick, if that had have even been like a half decent player in that draft, that they didn't just sort of move on from and basically use to bring back Gary Payton II, who, again, his medical fucking problems have been, you know, widely sort of broken down. But all the people in that draft, like Wiseman was like just this sort of big fucking mystery dude. The tricky part is it's like Tyrese Halliburton goes at what, 12? Imagine like LaMelo goes straight after. If they have LaMelo, of course the upside of this team is completely more chaos. You've got the next generation. You don't have to worry about the Chris Paul moves. The pool thing could probably be resolved a little bit easier. But at the same time, they looked around the West and went, look, there's Nikola Jokic. There's Anthony Davis. There's a bunch of big dudes. We're a bit fucked if we don't have a big dude who can guard them. So they went with Wiseman. It was just the wrong pick. So they've completely fucked themselves. You get that on the big jobs, though. The biggest problem for me is like Kuminga, it's whether or not you think he's like a star, right? And it's pretty hard to sort of go, yes, he's definitely a star. It's just the way that they sort of finish the season, you're like, oh, could be the same old Warriors. But the problem is when you have like a defense that's dialed in, Mike Brown using his like, you know, fucking brain powers of being a former Warriors assistant to slow down Steph and Clay for one game, which is very cool. The big question is like, does Clay come back at a reduced number? What do they get from Draymond? Can they just get this rolling on fumes next year? They will try. I think they will try. I don't think they made massive changes, but they probably fucking should, because that's it. I don't think they can contend anymore. They're too old. They're too broken down. And Kuminga and Moody aren't quite that next step fucking surefire super duper stars. Do the Kings have a chance against the Pelicans? Yeah, nah. Well, they're 0-5 against them this season. So you'd probably say no. But with Spindles Ingram with a bung knee coming back from that injury, CJ McCollum, who couldn't hit a fucking side of a barn today, and Zion possibly missing out with a weird lower leg injury that they don't know anything about. We'll know more about that tomorrow. The Kings are a real fucking chance all of a sudden. You're going to be sitting there going, fires a laser, bang, off we go. The thing is, with their like perimeter defense between Herb Jones, Dyson Daniels, you can see the Pelicans just turning this one into a rock fight and maybe just dragging him into the mud. Is Keegan Murray the new Splash Brother? Yeah, nah. He has a bit of this vibe. We talked about this all throughout the season, like the Johnny Storm dudes. Malik Monk's one of them, obviously. Keegan Murray is just fucking putting his hand up going, Jim, don't forget about me. He has like a bit of that Klay Thompson-esque vibe to him as well. He can sort of score from a couple of different levels. Klay can't do that anymore since he fucking hurt his ACL and shit and his Achilles or whatever. And yeah, Keegan just reminds me a lot of Klay Thompson. So yeah, I don't mind that one. We got one from IMB, Ian Matthew Bassett. My favorite Perth painter. Half that Team USA roster is old as fuck and won't actually play. Yeah, nah. Nah, I think the egos will be pretty big where you've got KD, LeBron, Steph, Embiid. Like, they're still very old. Don't get me wrong. But, like, we've seen this before with dream teams, right, where you've got, like, just the established super fucking duper stars and you've probably got, like, six or seven of your main rotation dudes, and then you've got some of the younger dudes who just sort of fill in the gaps here and there. It's like, today we need to kick the fuck out of Angola. Have at it, Anthony Edwards and Tyrese Halliburton, and away they go. Whereas for the big stuff, like you saw this in Beijing, right, when Kobe, LeBron, Chris Bosh, Dwight Howard, like they sort of had like the core groups, and Kobe's like, we're not fucking losing, dickheads. Pulled them all into shape, and they sort of rolled from there. And then 12, et cetera, was pretty good too. And I think they'll see this as a last hurrah, and that's probably the way they should go about it. Unpopular opinion of the day, though.
Look at me, please. Look at me.
I'm going to keep saying it. I'm pretty fucking happy the Warriors are out. I'm kind of just like, yeah, the Steph stuff is electric. It's electric when he's on. But as I said, he's been shit for like 2 months. Fucking it's right there in front of you. Just saying. Anyway, what about Outback Takeout? Same sort of vibe. Let's do it. Oh, yes, mate. It's Wednesday at Outback. You know what that means? Oh, yeah, camel steaks. You've heard of camel toes. These are camel steaks. That's right. We've just gone out to the Outback and just fucking killed a bunch of them. They're feral, I'll tell you what. Not native. Bang, off you go. They taste pretty rubbery, but does all right in a pinch. Camel steaks, only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, Steve Kerr is fucking cooked, mate, and the reason that Team USA will not win the gold. Only at Outback. I'm just saying, when you don't have like the world's best shooter in the world's best form and Kevin Durant, it's a lot harder to coach an NBA team, isn't it, Steve? Hey, geez, tough one. Let's roll straight to the Australian Play Watch because we just had Dyson Daniels today. He played 10 minutes in that Lakers game. I expect him to play a lot more if Zion is out in the Kings game. He's got a much better role against the Kings as well. It's like, Dyson, go dust bust fucking De'Aaron Fox. How about it? And off you go. He had 4 rebounds, went 0-1 from the floor. The Shane Hill shoot your shot, line them up award. I don't know if I've actually got a drop for that on this one. But the easy one is obviously Keegan Murray going 32 points, 9 rebounds, 8 of 13 from the floor for the simple fact that he had more points and threes than the Splash Brothers had combined. That's how your season ends. Very nice. All right, Patty Mills, Game Day Baller, Game Day Twitter check-in. This is where Jim just gets his phone out and has a look. Hey, we got more Patty. There we go. 100 days. That's all it is. 100 days to the Olympics. Bang. Can't wait to watch Patty Mills in that fucking Boomers uniform one more time. All right.
Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jim. How's it all going?
Oh, pretty good. I had to wrangle the cousins, so my niece and nephew as well this morning as the two squids. So I had a convoy, Gerald, going down the street there in Brunswick, hanging out. I've got the baby squid. Usually take the pram, you know, so I can just sort of sit back, hang out. And I'm like, screw that. Today we're taking the bike. And he's like, yes, mate. So he's got these big old fucking handlebars out there. He's just sort of cruising along. I've got the handle on the back pushing it, you know. Because he can't pedal because he's 18 months old. He's close because he fucking loves his bike. But anyway, so I had like the 4 kids just sort of fucking in the convoy. It was pretty bloody good. And I'm just like, this is a lot of responsibility. You're just like, all I did for like the 15, 20 minutes of the walk down to the like bloody school and daycare was like yell at children. It's like, oi, quit it. What are you doing? Hey, stop. Oi, quit it. Hurry up. What are you doing? Oh, come on. Like, it was just like, I just turned into my dad. It was hilarious. I enjoyed it though. It was fun. And yeah, just been running around. We did an AFL Today show already today, didn't we, Gerald? It was pretty good, pretty fun. So go listen to that because we have a massive weekend of footy ahead and plenty to talk about. I'm just like, but the biggest part was like sitting there on my couch, I fucking basically sprinted home pushing a trike that's empty. Looks like I've lost a kid. Which is amazing. I'm just like pushing this empty trike. It's like, is he stealing that? Like, or is he just forgotten a child? What the fuck? But it's incredible vibes. And I'm like just like hoofing it home. We've got like a meeting at fucking 9:15. I'm like, piss off meeting. I've got to fucking watch the hoops. And it starts. I'm just sitting on the couch going, yes, fucking taking my notes, watching it. It's like, playoffs. They're here. This is fucking awesome. So tomorrow's playing games. We've got Miami at Philly. I've already mentioned the Terry Rozier news. Now, Miami on the road in Philly, you might go, geez, Jim, What do we think here? Philly have won like 8 on the trot, bro. Jeez. Miami are a pain in the ass. We know that. And Philly are a pretty good home team. They are, in fact, 24-16-1 against the line at home this season. They have Joel Embiid back. They have Tyrese Maxey. They've got that absolute spud Tobias Harris. Philly were 14th in offense this year and 11th in defense, which is pretty cool. Miami were 5th in defense, 21st in offense. So obviously the big thing just simply comes down to whether or not Miami, same as they always fucking do, in the playoffs, are they going to make more shots than they did in the regular season? Will Caleb Martin once more turn into a combination of Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan? Maybe. But Jimmy Butler turns into playoff Jimmy. We all know that. Kind of cool, kind of gnarly. How's it go against Philly? Philly won the last two games, 109, 105, and 98, 91. So that's a bit of rock fight vibes, right? We're just fucking going full-blown rock fight, mate. And that's cool. I think Philly probably win that game, though, because I feel like between Maxey and Embiid, it just gives them too many fucking weapons. But the thing is, I'm not going to go against Miami in a fucking playoff game where it's winner-take-all through to the fucking actual playoffs. I'm going to pick Miami plus 5.5 because you know how I said that the Sixers were 24-16-1 against the spread at home? Guess what Miami is on the road? It's 25-15-1. That's one win better than the Sixers are. So they're the third best team in the NBA against the line on the road. I just don't want to go against Jimmy Butler going into Philly going, you fucking idiots should never have let me go, you dummies, and like dropping like 30 on them. They keep it close. I expect this game to be much more like the Pelicans, the Lakers game that we already saw today, where it's a little bit closer. If I'm getting 5.5 points for Miami, I'm just going to take it. Awesome coaching matchup. Spoelstra, Nick Nurse, Embiid versus Bam as the big men. Tyrese Maxey up against what? Tyler, there goes my hero. It's a lot of ties. But still, I think Philly win. Miami cover the 5.5. Fascinating matchup. The other one, not so fascinating because Atlanta is shit and so is Chicago. So Chicago are hosting this one. Atlanta won the last time they met back at the start of April, 113-101. The Bulls won 136-126 back in February and 118-113 in a what would have been Boxing Day. And 123-105 back in April last year. So they played three times this year. Bulls have won twice. Trae Young's back. DeJounte Murray's there. They don't have Jalen Johnson, though. You've still got DeAndre Hunter. You don't have Onyeka Okongwu, so you've only got Clint Capela. I just think the Bulls have probably enough to pull this one out of their ass, right? DeMar DeRozan there. Kobe White, Vooch. I just can never trust Chicago. 3.5-point favorites at home. Do you want to know their home record against the line? 18-22-1. Unfortunately for Atlanta, they're 14-27 against the line on the road because they're shit. I'm taking Chicago minus 3.5 as the 9 seed just to get the job done. The big thing for me is just DeMar DeRozan. He could just go fucking bang and drop 30 on their heads and away they go. Vooch versus Clint Capela as well. Interesting matchup. I just don't, like, if Atlanta were healthy, they'd win. They're not, so they won. And there we go. Simple as that sometimes, he says. And that's it for today. There you go. How good were the playing games? God, it's fun to have like games that matter. Like really fucking matter. Like the Warriors getting bundled out was fun as hell. But that's it. We'll be back on deck tomorrow. Probably a later show because we've got a crap ton of stuff going on tomorrow. But in the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Show on Twitter, FaceyIG, all that good stuff. And of course, the AFL Today Show, as I mentioned, 3 shows a week. A lot of AFL footy because I'm obviously on the Supercoach show as well. If you need a Supercoach, why? You should be watching and listening to that too. But AFL Today, it's wicked good. It's really fun. So go check it out. Subscribe, like it. Watch this on YouTube as well. You can watch that on YouTube. Watch all of our shit on YouTube. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever app you're using on your Android phone as well. Make sure you're subscribing, liking, following Cricket Today Podcast, Football Today Podcast, AFL Today Show. That's Sports Today Show on Facebook as well. That one? Anyway. NFL Australia with myself and Gaz, all that good stuff. Remember, get around NBAAustralia.com/shop, get your merch, help me pay for those fucking renos. God damn it. But also big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. They rule. So do House Hats, Joshua Delarentis, Fascinated, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers. They're behind all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Have you listened to your tunes? Do so. And listen to Australian bands. It's NBA Australia, support Australian bands. So should you. That's it. No skit because I'm in the studio. Gotta get the fuck out of here. So we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads, for more play-in madness. I can't fucking wait. Philly, Miami, Jimmy Butler versus Joel Embiid. He's good, mate. It's just like, why did you ever fuck this up, Philly? They would have won titles. You've gone and cooked it. Anyway, it's going to be fun as shit. We'll wrap it all up for you tomorrow as well and set you up for the 8-seed games. That'll be fun. All right, till then, look after yourselves. This is NBA Australia saying, again, look after yourselves and later, Hosanna!